that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that word mammon there, just it sort of translates to riches or prosperity. And it's hard for you to search after the riches of this world and serve God. And that's what verse number 24 is telling us. And I read that just to kind of get in the context before we go into verse number 25. But as we were talking last week, we got to be really careful what we get our eyes on and what we get our heart set on and where our treasure is. We can real easily get into the things of this world. And, you know, there's a lot of things in this world that there's absolutely nothing wrong with. I believe that some of these things are here for us to enjoy, and then they can be an enjoyment. But when they get out of their place in our priority list, then all of a sudden we've got our eyes on the wrong thing and we're serving after maybe the riches more so than we are trying to follow Christ. And it says you cannot serve God and mammon. It's hard for us to chase after the things of the world and be able to serve God in the limitations that he wants us to serve him in, or the lack of limitations. Verse number 25, as we begin reading, it says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on." So as we go from verse number 24, where it's almost like he's searching after riches, and he's giving us a warning of being careful of what we get our eyes set on, what we get our hearts set on, where our treasure is. And then in verse 25, it's almost the opposite. Instead of someone maybe in verse number 24 that is being so super, everything is coming easy to them, somebody is being so successful, so financially well off that they're getting their eyes off of God and they're serving the riches of this world. Then in verse number 25, you almost hit the opposite contrast of that, of someone that is worried about things not being supplied for them. Because look, he says, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body." So as we look at verse number 25, it's almost as if we got someone here that is now worried that they're not going to have the provision. They're not going to have the things supplied to them necessary for life, necessary for them to, look, he says, to eat or what you shall put on, the things that are necessities in our life. He says, take no thought. And that take no thought is not exactly, just don't ever even think about it. I mean, I think that God expects us to look and to try to prepare somewhat. But I think what he's saying here, he's saying, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't complain about whether you have or whether you don't have. Now, last night as I was reading this scripture, there's some things going on right now in my life, and man, these things are turning and twisting, and sometimes being in leadership positions, whether it be at work or on a softball field or in a church or wherever, sometimes, you know, there's decisions that have to be made, and there's things that get handed to you, and you're like, okay, what am I going to do now? Then here in last night as I was sitting and I was reading this, and I was going, you know what, I don't need to worry. God's got everything that I do under control. God is not surprised by anything that happens in my life. You know, there's a verse of scripture in the Bible that says, and it shall come to pass. You know, anything that comes in our life, sooner or later, it will pass. Now, I've seen a little thing just so happens on Facebook this afternoon as I was scrolling through for a few minutes that said, and it shall come to pass. It may be like a kidney stone, but it'll come to pass. Sometimes it hurts as it passes. You know, sometimes it's not, we want everything in our life that seems hard, that seems troublesome, that seems burdensome. We want it just to pass with ease and everything's going to be okay. But sometimes it may pass like a kidney stone. It may be painful. It may be something that you have to bear through. It may be something that you just have to go, okay, God, I know you got this, but I'm going to try to keep you first in my life, and I'm going to try to follow you. And here in verse number 25, he's saying, don't worry, don't be anxious, don't complain, just trust in God. He says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Now, last night as I sat here and watched, as I was watching actually the Virginia Tech Duke game, and I was reading my Bible, and everything happening all at one time, but this verse of scripture jumped out at me. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. And I was like, man, that's good. I need that right now. And I went to bed feeling good, and you can ask Autumn, I fell asleep just like that. I mean, just bam, I was out. Wasn't worried. And then at 5 o'clock this morning, I was like, what am I going to do? And all of that worry just pounded me all at one time. You know, and I think that's the thing that we have to do in our Christian life. And all day long, I've went through and said, God, I know you've got this. You're not surprised by anything that's happened in my life. And really, the things that I'm talking about, they're not life and death. They're not even spiritual matters. They're physical, everyday things. And you know what? If it all goes away and it all, it's going to be okay. I'm saved. I'm born again. My family's saved and born again. We're all healthy as far as I know. God is blessing our church. There's a ministry for us all to do. And if everything out here in this world falls apart, like I said, it may not be fun. God's still good. And I don't need to be worried and be anxious. But sometimes I think that every single day, what it takes from us, you know how the Bible teaches us that we have to die daily and how that Christ must increase and we must decrease. I don't think that's something that we ever really accomplish. You know, I think that's the reason that the Bible teaches us about dying daily. It would be nice to die unto sin one time. And I know that when I was saved, I died unto sin and I have Christ in my heart and the blood has covered my sins and washed them away. I understand that. But somehow or another, it comes back up in my life from time to time. So I have to die daily. I have to die out to that sin, to that old man. And I think it's kind of the same way with worry. It's kind of the same thing with being anxious. And no, I'm not worried about whether I'm going to have something to eat tomorrow or not. And here this scripture is talking about that. It's saying, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. But there's a lot of other things that I worry about. There's a lot of other things that I get anxious about. There's a lot of other things that I get uneasy about. And this kind of leads, not kind of, this leads to me misplacing my trust in God. I should be 100% trusting in God in every aspect of my life. No matter what happens, I'm trusting in God. But you know what happens when we begin to worry? It's because we've took our trust out of God's hands and we've put it on our own ability. We've put it in ourselves. Okay, like I said, this morning when I woke up at 5 o'clock, sweat beads pouring down my head, going, what am I going to do? Well, what am I going to do? I can't really do nothing about it. I'm going to go to work today. I'm going to go to church tonight. I'm going to get up and do it again tomorrow for the Lord's will. And there's a whole lot of things that we put eye into that if we would just say, God, I'm going to trust you with it. I probably could have laid back down there and went back to sleep without sticking headphones in my ears, trying to listen to something else to make me go to sleep. But I will say this. It did give me an opportunity that I stopped and said, okay, God, since I'm awake, I'm going to pray for some people at church. And I started praying, and that eased me a lot. I don't know if y'all do. Maybe y'all don't have worries and troubles or nothing bothers y'all like that. Maybe y'all don't have stress. Maybe y'all go to bed at night and y'all sleep all night and you get up in the morning and you just go, well, glory, I just love being a Christian. Maybe y'all do that. But sometimes I wake up going, oh, no, my life's falling apart. Or this is going wrong. And it begins a worry. Or it begins being anxious in my life. He's saying, look, don't worry. I think when we get to the place that we are worrying, that we are misplacing our trust in God. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Look, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, I don't like this next part, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, there's so many times that I go to God and I say, look, let's just put it where it's real. Let's put, well, God, you know how bad this is in my life right now. And God, I need you to touch and I need you to do, and I'm complaining to God. But look what Philippians chapter 4 says in verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. God, thank you for where I'm at today. Now, God, help me to see what you're going to do in my life through this. I don't like that. I don't even like to say that. God, I'm here, and I'm here for a reason, so I'm going to be thankful for the reason that I'm here. God, help me not to worry about the why I'm here, or help me not to be anxious about why I'm here, but God, I just want to thank you that I'm here where I'm at. Let your request be made known unto God. We can't get so worried about things that we just misplace our trust in God. Look, let's continue reading the last part. It says, is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Your inner or emotional or mental stability has come from somewhere other, or it must come from somewhere other than the physical things that are happening around us. Because if you get to looking at the physical things that are happening around us, your mental stability, your emotional stability is going to be like a roller coaster. Because today, well, I don't know. I was going to say you could turn on the news today and they're telling something good, and tomorrow they're telling something bad, but I think it's always bad on the news. But today you might have a good day, and your mental, your inner, your emotional stability may be good. Everything's happening. And tomorrow you could bottom out. And so the physical things that goes on around us, we can't let those control who we are in Christ, who we are mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. It's got to come from somewhere. And here he's saying, don't worry about that. Verse number 26, let's continue reading. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Listen, Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, just as in verse number 24 of Matthew chapter number 6 was telling us that we can become a prisoner of riches or a prisoner of possessions, or we, that can cause us to miss our relationship with God and where it's supposed to be. Do you know that also the lack thereof can cause us to be a prisoner? It can cause us to be so worried about why I don't have this, or why I'm not getting this, or why this is not happening in my life. We can get so worried about that that we become a prisoner to those things. But we should look and know that God has promised that he's going to take care of us. I don't believe that God has put us here to forsake us. I know he hasn't. He's promised that he would never leave us and that he would never forsake us. And in verse number 26, he says, I want you to look even in nature. We got to continue reading because it keeps going. He says, which of you, verse number 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Are we really of little faith? Can we look out here and even see God's provision in nature? We can see how, man, you can look into an ecosystem and it's crazy how God put everything into perfect order. Everything is in perfect order. I could go into examples, and I'm not going to because I didn't like science and I didn't listen that close anyway. But if you even look at an ecosystem, and how that everything in that ecosystem is provided for by something else in that ecosystem, it is crazy how God just set nature in order and how God provided for nature. Do you not think that he's going to do much more than that for us, who he made in his own image, who he formed out of the dust of the earth, breathed the breath of life into us? We're his children. God's going to provide for us. God's going to take care of us. And I'm not always just talking about a financial thing, or I'm not always talking about a monetary gain, or that we may have this or we may have that. But there are some situations in our life that worry us and trouble us, and God can provide in all of those situations also. He can provide with my family. He can keep my kids safe. He can keep them from turning down the wrong roads. He can take your marriage and help it as it goes along. There's so many different things in our life that God can provide for. I know it takes willingness from us, and it takes that we'll follow his leadership, but God can provide those things. We shouldn't be worried. Let's continue reading. Verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now look, see, and this is the thing where people, if you're not careful, people will take verses of the Bible, and they'll take them out of context, and they'll twist them and turn them to make them say what they want them to say for the moment. Or they'll take them and they'll twist them and turn them and say, well, God's word says this. Well, does God's word really say that? Because the Bible teaches me that you got to rightly divide the word of truth. And you can take a verse of scripture and I can take a verse of scripture and send everybody in here to hell, or I can take a verse of scripture and tell everybody in here that everybody in the world's going to heaven. You can do that with God's word. But if you rightly divide the word, now look, he says right here, he says, if you don't take thought, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? That don't mean ride by a food line tonight and not buy any groceries and just say, well, there's going to be something there on the stove tomorrow. That's not what that means. But it's not something that we have to sit and say, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? God's going to provide. In every situation in our life. Verse number 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. How many of you, look, it said father, so I'm going to say dad. How many of us dads tonight, if we know that our kids truly need something, are we not going to do everything that we can to provide that? We sure are. We're going to do everything that we, look, we even provide for our kids who don't deserve providing for, right? If my son, I sure hope he doesn't, but if my son decides one day that he's going to turn left and that he's going to go against everything that he's ever been taught, everything that he knows, and he, in all seriousness, he deserves for me to oust him, be done with him. But you know what? He's always going to be my baby. It don't matter what. Same way with my girls. And if I know that they truly have a need for something, I'm going to do my best to provide for them. How many times in my life have I been in a position that God should have said, I'm done. I can't believe that you've done that. But you know what? Since the age of 7, when I got down on my knees and asked him to come into my life, I belong to him. And he looks after me, and he provides me for me, and he takes care of me. Verse number 33. This is where we really wanted to get to tonight. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now see, as we look at this, and he says, don't worry about this and don't worry about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are we really? Man, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I'm not. Do we really seek first the kingdom of God? I mean, just think about it. What do you do first thing when you get up in the morning? Well, first thing I do is I reach over and cut my alarm off on my phone, and I begin getting ready for work, thinking, okay, I got to do this, this, and this when I get to work. And that's where my mind goes first thing. Instead of getting up and saying, God, thank you that I made it through the night. Thank you for the strength to put my clothes on. God, as even as I'm on my way from Pilot Mountain to Mount Airy or Cana or wherever I'm going, God, just speak to my heart. Give me something even this morning. But I'm not seeking the kingdom. I'm seeking the next sale, the next dollar. Look, y'all might not, it's kind of even embarrassing to sit here and say, hey, I'm your pastor. I'm the under-shepherd here. And my mind is over here a lot of times when it needs to be right here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If I'm really seeking first the kingdom of God, look, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we were really seeking God first, if we were really seeking him first in our life, if I put as much effort into seeking the kingdom as I do, look, I'll go away from work for a minute because I'm getting tired of talking about myself there. But if I was seeking the kingdom as much as I was working with a softball program, we might see some different results in my family who are lost, in my friends who are lost. If when I got up in the morning, my first thought was, God, please put somebody in my path today that I can witness to them. God, I want to seek you so much first today. I know we got to go to work. I know we got to make a living. I know all of that. But look, even God knew that when he wrote this scripture. And he says, but first, seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom and his righteousness. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm not sure that I'm seeking the kingdom first. I'm afraid that a lot of times my eyes are elsewhere when they need to be seeking the kingdom. What's the first thing you think of every day? What is on your mind throughout most of the day? And if we put as much effort into the kingdom as we do other stuff, would we have more kingdom results? See, I get some good results at United Plumbing Supply because I put a lot of effort in. I get some good results out of softball because I put a lot of effort in. Well, what about my kingdom effort? Where is that at? This is hurting me tonight. I'm getting tired of all y'all looking at me. So we're going to be done here in just a minute. But as we go throughout our day, what are we really seeking first? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. As we go, I need to challenge myself to seek first the kingdom of God, to put my effort into the kingdom, to look and say, God, I don't know, all this other stuff that's happening today, God, let that be my mission field. Let the softball field be my mission field. Let United Plumbing be my mission field. Let Fellowship Baptist Church be my mission field. And while I'm there, let me seek the kingdom. Let me seek that first and everything in my life. Everything else is going to be all right. Because you've told me in Matthew chapter number 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Y'all pray for me that I will have more of a kingdom mind, that I will have more of a desire for the things of God and then seeing people saved. Man, if we would actually get that desire, I'll say this just in passing. Just this past week, I don't know exactly how it come up in conversation, but it come up in conversation. We were talking about the Mormon religion and the Jehovah's Witness, and we talked about this and that and the different things, and I don't know a whole lot about it, so my comments were very short. But however, I remember somebody made the comment, if Baptist, and I'm going to take Baptist out of it, if saved people put as much effort into what they do and what we believe as the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses do, we would see more results in our churches. And that's the truth. That's the truth. How long has it been since we knocked on a door? I know. I'm getting on my toes too. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. And God, I know that I'm a failure. God, I know as I get into your word and I look, that sometimes my focus is in the wrong directions. And God, I believe that sometimes that the reason that I have the worry and the anxiousness and the different things in my life is because I'm not kingdom-minded enough. I'm not seeking you first in my life. And God, I thank you for speaking to my heart. God, I thank you for knowing that I'm one of yours. And God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to get into your word and for you to speak to us. And God, that you don't just kick us out when we're wrong, but God, that you love us back to where we're supposed to be. God, I pray that you'll help me even tomorrow, that when I get up, God, that I seek first the kingdom, and all this other will be added unto me. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.